This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking about the Murfreesboro City School System. And with us today, Director of Communications, Lisa Trill. Also with us, Jennifer Lowe. And I'll try to get this title.
I'm trying to.
Family and Community Engagement Coordinator. I think I got it.
You got it.
What's happening this morning? What's going on with the city schools?
Well, the majority of us are on spring break.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was spring break.
Have you not noticed like the light traffic outside?
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, Rutherford County and Murfreesboro City are on spring break this week, except for apparently Jennifer.
What about all the other staff? Are they at work today?
Some are, some are not. It just depends on whether you took vacation or not. But we are here because we had radio.
So when does spring break, when do the students return?
Monday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they are gone all week this week and then coming back Monday.
They are, except there's a lot of students at ESP right now having a really good week.
Good.
So there are some parents who did not take off. And for those, we have our extended school program, which is always full. It's nice to see the kids still learning and playing and enjoying their day, especially this rainy days.
It's been raining a lot.
Yeah.
So what's happening outside of the rain and spring break and everything else?
We are actually planning for next year. It's kind of one of those things where we are not finished with this year and we're not taking our eyes off of that ball. The teachers are still going strong, but as far as looking in the future, we're already looking for next year. So the 25-26 school year. So we've just finished up our zone waivers applications. Those finished on March 28th. And now we're into pre-K and kindergarten registration. So pre-K registration is going on now. It'll end on April the 15th. To be in pre-K, the voluntary pre-K, you do have to be four before August 15th. And our pre-K program is a needs-based program, but if you go on our website, you can find out all about that. We start on our kindergarten registration as soon as we get back from spring break, and that will go through April the 30th. So if you have a child who was going into kindergarten next year, it's time to go ahead and get them registered. Again, you have to be 5 years old. The child has to be five before August 15th to go into kindergarten. But it is time now to register them for next year.
To register, what do they do? Where do they go?
They would go on their school's website, or you can go to the city school's website to find out where you're zoned if you don't know that already. Every one of the schools are having open houses for the kindergarten students just to let them walk through, get to see the school, get to meet the principal, maybe a teacher or two. And that's really good for the child as well as the parent. And the parents at that point can ask a lot of questions they may have, what is required for registration, the hours of my school, you know, all those basic questions so they can start preparing their child. One good thing about kindergarten registration is if you register them now, they actually can start ESP during the summer months if the parent wants them to. And there's also kinder camp during the summer months that a child can attend, which is a week just kindergarten students getting to know their building, getting to know routines. I would highly, highly recommend if your child is not attending ESP already to do kinder camp. It is just so much easier for the child as they begin that first day of school.
I think we talked about it before. It's usually the parents that are more scared and more worried than the kids are actually.
It really is. It really is. It's hard to let go of your babies. Because they look like babies when they start. They're so little.
All throughout elementary, it seems like they look really young. But you can see a huge difference, of course, when they come up through fifth grade. Fifth grade, there's massive changes.
Oh, there's massive changes. But that kindergarten, first graders, they just have that little young look to them. By the time they get to second grade, they actually look older. And Jennifer's been in the school setting, so she actually knows a whole lot more about what they're doing in those school settings. But I went to STEAM in the City last week, I guess, right before spring break. And this little first grader read this intense book to me. And I was just looking at her thinking, I cannot believe they're reading this much in first grade. I just can't. And I work with them all the time, but I don't get to get into the classroom or see the students. And it's amazing what they learn from that first day of school to just the first grade.
Seems like kids are a lot smarter today than when I was in school. I don't know if it's true, but it does seem that way.
It does. We certainly are packing a whole lot more in their day.
I'm still struggling with words, and these kids kids are like flying through War and Peace and stuff. Do you ever have additional kids sign up for school when they come back from spring break? I mean, I know there's key times of the year where you do see student increases, small ones, but you do see them.
There are key times. Right after Christmas, we get a lot. When MTSU fluctuates their schedule, we either see more coming in or lose a few. Spring break is not the typical time we would receive new children, but we will get them. We get them all throughout the year, especially at those growing parts of town like Overall Creek and Salem. It's not unusual to walk in at any point and see a child moving in and starting school. So we welcome them at any time.
Yeah, real estate is crazy right now. I mean, there's so many people moving here. How many students are now at the city schools, roughly?
9,281. Is that right?
I think that is that number. Exactly.
9,281.
That's a lot.
Yes.
What else is happening and what else do parents need to be thinking about right now?
I'm going to turn it to Jennifer so she can talk about our parent universities and what she's planning for next year. And then also want to talk about our backpack program for our students as well. So Jennifer, let's talk parent university.
Let's talk parent university.
What that actually means to a parent listening.
So parent university is so much fun. This is one of the highlights of my job. But we have created classes for our parents, not the students. And these classes, it's like a menu. They can pick whatever it is they'd like to help support their child in, to help them grow at home. So for example, 2024, 2025, we probably had about 16 different classes. And some of them were in person. Some of them were on Zoom or online. But we held workshops. We did a Smart Start. We partnered with Redstone Financial Credit University. And we met with parents who wanted to just kind of learn more about different types of savings. And they brought the children in and the families came. And it was really awesome. We went to Limebaugh Library and brought our reading coordinator, Kathy Daugherty. And she led a workshop for parents for like K through two parents, and they were able to leave with supplies to go home and work with their kids at home. And so everybody doesn't have flexibility in their schedule to maybe drop what they're doing, leave work and go and join some of these workshops. So we've also brought them online via Zoom, and we've held several different kinds. We talk about like some mental health, and some of it's just how do we support our kids in math and reading. And so we're looking ahead at this next year, and we're rolling out new ideas, and we're just going to continue to grow it.
Have you seen a big change in mental health? Because it seems like at the start of COVID, that's when we started to see kids with more anxiety, kids with even depression.
Yes. So that's actually been a very interesting topic to our parents. We did an anxiety Zoom with one of our STARS therapists. That's just like Murfreesboro City Schools. We have a partnership with STARS, and it's got different therapists and counselors. And she spoke on anxiety, and she also talked with how to help children deal with big emotions. She did a couple of those. And then Dr. Duke did an amazing parent conversation. He held three different ones in our schools, and he also did one online, a Zoom, and it was on the top-selling book, The Anxious Generation, by Jonathan Haidt. I hope I said his name correctly. And he just got with parents down on a level to just talk about the effects of screen time and just how can we support our children. So yes, it definitely, definitely is something.
The next upcoming parent university, is it going to be in person or is it going to be on Zoom?
Okay, so we've almost wrapped up this school year. We do have a big one coming up right after spring break. It is a packed house. We are full. We have partnered with the Discovery Center, and we are doing a family math night. So we have our math coordinator and some people from our math team, and they're coming in and they're doing stations with the parents. And each station is a different game, and they're going to learn how to not just play with your child, but play and teach your child. And so they're going to get these manipulatives. They're going to get the knowledge, and they're also going to get playtime when they're done experiencing all that with us. And they're going to be able to go home and play these games with their kids. And
yeah, the concept of parent university is the parents are their first teachers. Mm-hmm. We know that. We can only do so much, and parents really are those first teachers, and they will be their lifelong teachers. But what we hear from parents is, well, I don't understand this new math. Well, it's really not new math. It's just us saying it a different way than what maybe you were brought up saying it, or same thing for me, obviously. So it's really taking it and saying, hey, here's how we are teaching. So when you hear your child come home talking about sight words or other types of language that teachers are using, you actually know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, okay, that's easy. Let me just help you with that. Let me help you support this conversation from school to homework. So that's what the parent universities are about. And I think through trial and error, we figured out a few things this year, and we're going to make it even richer next year for parents. And we just sent a parent survey out 2 weeks ago just saying, what do you want to see? So that we're actually giving them the education that they're requesting. We have found out that, you know, those younger kids, those kindergarten, first grade parents, they really, really want to know just the basics of what's happening during the school day, and they really engage with that. Again, we want to make sure that our parents and our communities involved in our schools, because we are a community school district.
What kind of feedback do you get from parents as far as them coming to you saying, you know, it is really hard for me to help my child with math homework, or it is really hard helping with English homework? What kind of feedback are you getting, and what's the hardest subject really for parents more so than the students in helping their kids?
I think that the most feedback we receive is just those aha moments of, this isn't that difficult. You just didn't expect a second grader to be having this work. Because like you said, we go a little bit more rapid pace than when you and I were in school. It's really aha moments, I would think. Jennifer, would you agree?
I do agree. And I think that, yes, I completely agree that they're like, this isn't as hard as I thought it was. And just some of the words, like, for example, I'm just going to throw this out there, decoding. Like, I didn't understand what that word meant when my kids were younger and I would hear it. But then just explaining to a parent what it is, it's like, oh, I already know what that is. So yes, those aha moments for sure.
Definitely school is at a faster pace compared to even 10 years ago. School's at a faster pace today.
Right. And we have more double working parents. So, you know, they don't get that opportunity to come in during the school day. So you do see our schools doing a whole lot more in the evening hours. You have STEAM walks and math nights and arts nights and all that kind of stuff to make sure that parents have the opportunity to see what their child is doing. We just had our honor band last week as well. And just to be able to see, oh, this is what my child has learned in band. And amazing what talent they bring in just such a small time. So the more we can get our parents interacting, the better off we are, the better off the child is. Because again, words like decoding or sight words or whatever it is, it's not something as far as a new concept. It's just a new way of teaching sometimes. And once the parents understand it, they have that ability to help in the evenings or to continue that process, if whether you're on spring break or on the weekends or whatever. But the robotics, the projects like that, where it looks like it's overwhelming, it's not overwhelming to the child. They're just ready to go.
And I think that's what's so great about Parent University, is because parents have the ability to ask these questions. And so they're with the experts. We have the experts we're providing. We're putting them with the parents. And so I think they're able to ask more questions and get more answers.
And, you know, while it may seem more overwhelming, I guess the assignments are a lot more interesting today. The way teachers are able to kind of combine whatever they're learning about with real life situations and things, it does make it a lot more interesting, I think.
Yeah, there's not the worksheets
Thank goodness.
You used to see. The textbooks even look a little different. But yeah, I mean, and there are some worksheets, don't get me wrong. But just the things that the teachers are teaching, it's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And you can see a lot of that during parent-teacher meetings, because you get to concentrate on what's going on with your child. But when you see it as a whole, whether it's at a STEAM event or whether it's at a parent university, I think it makes you have those moments of, okay, we've got this. We've got this. This is great.
It seems a lot more hands-on today.
Well, I think there's like a lot more use of manipulatives, like 10 blocks and 10 frames. There's things that, throwing these words out there,
like,
but yes,
education.
I think, yes, I was an EA before I took this role, so I worked with the kids. And I do think there's a lot more hands-on learning than just showing it and putting it on paper.
And I think that makes it easier. At least it makes it easier to understand when you're able to see, and not only see, but touch mm-hmm. whatever it is you're working on.
Mm-hmm. It's much more applicable to them, for sure.
I do believe that makes it more interesting. Like, one of the things that came out of COVID, was talked about during COVID, were the field trips that kids take, and then the Google goggles that y'all...
Google goggles.
Yeah.
Which is not a real word.
but it's those types of things that I think really help the learning atmosphere in a major way.
Yes. And I'll tell you, when you go in and see the virtual reality where they can go to those field trips virtually, now they're still going to field trips, but when you can actually look at Greece and you see those photos come to life and you can manipulate it. It is amazing. And the same thing when you look at a lot of our schools have the water tables. And so when you walk in and they're talking about, what subject level is that? I'm sorry. I think it's like fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so they're able to actually manipulate the sand and understand how a water table works and why we have to worry about our ecosystem and everything.
And those really are the coolest. Those water tables are so neat.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are the water tables?
So it's okay. It's just a long table. And it's got like kinetic, almost like kinetic sand and rocks and water, but they can literally like learn a topic in class if it's erosion or whatever the subject is, and they can go and see it. They can see how it works on this water table, and it is really visual and neat. It
like
is
watershed moment.
Yeah,
and so they go in and you see it and you go, oh. And I want to go, like, some of these things that we've done that are really working, and you see them in most every school now, started out through the City Schools Foundation, just funding these grants to say, is this something that will actually teach? Is this something that will actually be used? And I have to give kudos to the foundation for being kind of that test site to say, I love this idea. Now let's see if it works. And then if it is working, then the schools can start bringing it in and saying, yes, it's worth the investment of taxpayer dollars to do that. But those tables are, again, when you get up in those upper grades and you go, ah, this isn't a sandbox. This is a real working machine.
Because I'm a visual learner as well. It's really nice when you can not just read about something, but see it.
I agree totally. So with the City Schools Foundation, are they buying things like those water tables, the massive sandboxes that aren't really sandboxes or a learning pool?
Our teachers and principals are cringing at me describing it as a sandbox. But yeah, visually that makes sense, right?
It does.
So our foundation allows our teachers to ask for grants for outside of the box thinking. And so a lot of times you see those STEM interactions that are asked for in the grants. There's not a limit as to what they can ask for. It could be $200. It could go up to $20,000. So you see a lot of the STEM type products being asked for, or arts. So yes, they have that ability to buy the first one or the second one. And when I first came on, came with the City Schools, a lot of the things that we were seeing on a regular basis was the interactive boards that teachers wanted. Well, that's just standard now. Mm-hmm. So what used to be, okay, let's try it and let's see. And the foundation was able to fund that two or three per school. Now it's just part of the school day. You know, you don't see the blackboards like you used to. You see these real interactive screens that teachers are able to use. Same thing with what we laugh about, the Google goggles. So they bought the first couple, and then it's like this virtual reality became, oh, this is really a teaching moment. So yes, they're able to really get outside of the box because, again, it's those trial and errors. There's been things we funded that ended up sitting on a shelf and go, well, that didn't work like we thought it was going to. But thankfully, not a lot of that.
Basically, it's a lot better if you buy it for one classroom versus the entire school system.
Right. And just see, a lot of our grants now go kind of grade level grants. So it'll be like all the fifth grade teachers get together in a school and say, this would really, really enhance this particular subject. And so they're able to share it, figure it out. And then if it works really well, it doesn't take very long for the fifth grade teachers across the city to know that this is a really good enhancement.
That's cool. Now, with the tools that students use, are they using laptops? Are they using iPads? What do they use each and every day as far as technology goes?
We do have laptops. That's a one laptop to one child basis on third through sixth grade. You don't want to walk into a classroom anytime and see every child on a laptop. That's just not the way we want to teach. We want to make sure that we're interactive. Sometimes you have to have it because of those testing. And actually, maybe second grade through sixth grade, because we test all those levels. But that kindergarten and first grade level, it's a 2-to-1. So they can share. You know, if you've got two classrooms, you need to do it all together, then you just share amongst the teachers. But mainly, we want to make sure those are for those small models and not for, that's not your everyday teaching moments, is with screen time. We want them to looking at that teacher.
What's got to be wild for a lot of grandparents out there when they, and parents, but when they look at the students and they're able to type a complete paragraph on a laptop in third grade, it makes you question, I can't believe I took typing class in high school, you know? But are they taking any type of typing class? Are they taking anything to learn that computer, or do they just know it?
They do learn keyboarding, whereas we learn typing. And I will tell you that typing class still helps you. I look at my typing classes and think I'm really much better on a keyboard because I know where those strokes are.
Until a third grader sits down
and they're using it a different way, maybe. So they do take keyboarding, but they honestly, they learn so early. Yeah. That, you know, they're already messing with your phones or whatever. I mean, it's not unusual to see a 3-year-old grab a parent's phone and know how to swipe. I just think they have no fear.
It's pretty wild, though. Mm-hmm. What else is happening within the school system? What else is coming up that parents need to know about?
I do want to take opportunity to talk about our backpack program and let Jennifer kind of describe that, because I think it's one of those things, unless you're in the schools, you may not know about it. We have a program, we call it backpack program. Other people may call it something different. I think Rutherford County calls it the Atlas Fuel Program, mm-hmm. Where we do know that there are some children who are struggling on the weekends to have adequate food. And moms and dads who are working really hard, or grandparents working really hard, but all of a sudden when you have that second and third mouth to feed, and you know, the kids are home, your refrigerators are out.
That's right. So, there's no point in going to the grocery anymore.
Yeah. And some of our families just don't have that excess money, and they're doing all they can. So the backpack program allows the children to go home with some extra food for the weekend so that they come to school on Monday morning ready to learn and not just hungry. And we saw that many, many years ago when we started serving lunch and breakfast in the classroom, is that some of our students are depending on those school meals for their nourishment. So backpack program kind of extends that. So let's talk backpack.
and you know, prices are higher than ever right now.
Yes.
I can understand why some families are having a struggle there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do have like a food pantry, and we have a backpack program. So we do have a food pantry program that if the families are in need of food for the week, we supply that. And the backpack program is really unique because it's for any child that's identified. It could be by a teacher or by a counselor. It doesn't have to be a parent request. So these bags of food can go home on Fridays to support the kids through the weekend. And it's kid-friendly foods. It's smaller items. It's individual snack-sized things that they can open up. So we do like the little cups of cereal. We do granola bars, goldfish pretzels, peanut butter crackers. And also we try to do like two small, what we call pop top, the little smaller entrees that they can just open up with their little hands. Like think like SpaghettiOs, mac and cheese, and that type of thing. So we work really hard with our community because we count on our community to help us with this. We do have a grant with Second Harvest, and thankfully it does provide for probably about 25% of our needs. And then the rest, we're working with our local businesses and faith-based organizations to help support us with food drives. There is always a need. And we've been really blessed this year. We've had a lot of pouring out through Girl Scouts and churches and businesses to help us with this.
Yeah, our churches are amazing. They do food drives for us quite often. Several different churches work with us on that, and just gives us, it always comes, like when we think, oh, we're not going to have enough food this week, it just comes in.
Yes, it does.
And our Girl Scouts, one of our Girl Scout units, I decided that was going to be their service project this month. And we just keep getting these little bags of food, like 25 and 50 and 100 at a time.
It's
already packed. Yes. It is so awesome.
It is.
So I just want to say thank you to the Girl Scouts for really taking us on and taking this backpack program and getting it together. And I think they did it after their cookie drive was over with. But just think of like mac and cheese, those things that a child can throw in the microwave and cook for themselves if the parent is working on the weekend and just isn't there. We also want to make sure that it's small enough that it just fits in a microwave or a small apartment. Sometimes our families don't have that extra space for storage. So this is things that they're going to open and eat over the weekend and come back to school on Monday morning.
How do you go about helping so that the child doesn't feel embarrassed? And maybe that's not a problem in these grades that we're talking about here.
It is a problem.
Yes, I think at any age, they're aware. So we're very careful in identifying, and we're very careful about when we give the items to the children. So it's done discreetly. So a teacher may take a kid to a cubby and allow them to put it in their backpack, but it is. It's a discreet thing.
And that's the reason we call it the backpack, because it's not given out to the students. It's just kind of placed in their backpack, and they get their backpacks a little bit heavier on Fridays, but their best friend doesn't know that they don't have the same heaviness in their backpack. So it's very discreet. And again, it's after a teacher or a counselor or someone just has identified that this child is coming to school every Monday morning hungry, and we want to take care of those children.
What type of feedback do you get? Maybe even from the kids, but the parents who you guys are helping out, what type of feedback do you get?
We don't know the parents, so we would not receive the feedback.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
So if they maybe write a letter to the school just saying thank you, it just goes to that school where the child
right,
is.
Okay. Right. That it's very discreet. So we wouldn't know the child. We would not know the parent. Our faith-based organizations that come in, we have two each week.
We have New Vision.
Who
comes to our central office, and they pack with us every Wednesday. It's an awesome team. So thankful for their support. They even did a huge food drive for us this year, so it was wonderful. And we also have a partnership with Fellowship Methodist Church. They run the fuel program there, and they support four of our schools. And their volunteers actually take the food and pack the bags and deliver to the schools for us.
And I think that's the sweetest part about this is they don't receive the feedback either. They just know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need that feedback to keep going. And I don't think either one of these organizations, these faith-based organizations, have asked for that. They just know it's the right thing to do. And again, the teachers probably hear it. The counselors probably hear it. But from our level, we just know that the kids are going home with it and they're happy.
Do you have to sometimes go out and buy food? I know you're talking about how the organizations do the food drives and everything, but are you actually having to go out and purchase food as well?
Yes. Sometimes we receive donations that Jennifer is able just to spend that money. So if an organization doesn't want to buy and they just want to give us the dollars to do it, then that's Jennifer's role.
Yeah, we're more like filling holes.
Yeah.
I mean, we always have something, but sometimes we may be low on a certain item. And so thankfully for those donations, it'll allows us to make a quick run to Sam's and get the mac and cheese or whatever it is we're missing for that week.
And we just have individuals, sometimes in memory of someone, sometime in honor of someone. Mm-hmm. One of our board members just gave me some money this week. I don't know if he wanted me to say that, but just for the same thing. He knows there's a need. He gave us some money and Jennifer's already spent it.
It goes quick. She's like, well, I thought we had a lot back there. I'm like, well, we packed this week. So
yeah.
I also wanted to mention that anybody is welcome to make donations and drop them off at our central office at 2552 South Church Street. So we are always, we have people that will just drop off extra items. Maybe they had left over from something. So we're always happy to receive things.
One of our teachers, our HubGood teacher, she and I think it was just her friend group did a mac and cheese drive for us and came in with this cases.
Massive.
Of it. And I'm like, that was so kind. And again, she saw the need and she did some. We appreciate that. We appreciate everyone.
And the timing was perfect on some of that. We had a bad weather day or I can't remember what it was, but we had to pack a day different than we get our delivery. And so we thankfully had done this mac and cheese drive and we were able to send home food. It was just awesome.
Are you finding that more parents are like in households? Are both parents usually working in this day and time or are more stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads out there than there used to be?
I think that there's more both parent working homes, but that's just my thought. I've actually not ever done a study on that, but it seems like we have a lot of dual working families. And then again, it depends on if they have the younger ones that are not in the school because daycare is expensive. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you need to stay home because it's cheaper than putting two children in daycare.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, everything is so expensive today, and real estate especially.
Yeah, definitely.
And then as far as the age of parents today, is there a difference today versus 10 or 15 years ago? I mean, are parents a little bit older, a little bit younger, or is there an average age that you do see?
I have no idea.
These are great questions.
Sorry, to, I know. I do not have any idea.
I know either. We need to do a study on that.
We'll see how old they are. They're going to seem younger, I'm pretty sure.
The older I get, the younger everybody seems. So I'm like, yeah.
It is. Like, oh, my goodness. I don't know. So
we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back to wrap it up. talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools. And again, with us today, Director of Communications, Lisa Trell, and also Jennifer Lowe, Family and Community Engagement Coordinator, again, for Murfreesboro City Schools. We'll be right back.
This is WGNS Action Line.
This is Peter Demas. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. A lot of times when you get steamed vegetables such as broccoli or cauliflower, it's either soggy. One of the things that we wanted to do was make certain that it was still soft, but still had a little bit of a crunch to it. And so we worked on the procedure of how to cook that. And then all of our vegetables are seasoned with our seasoned salt. We keep that seasoned salt at home, and I can tell you almost all the vegetables I cook at home have the seasoned salt on it. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
This is Amanda from Animal City. Come do business with my family. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. As your local pet store, we're here to build relationships. That's just one of the reasons that we've been a staple of the Murfreesboro community for more than 34 years. Come see why Animal City is the trusted choice for pet owners all across town. Visit us today at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. You can also find us on Instagram at Animal City TN.
Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
You're listening to WGNS, and we've been talking about the Murfreesboro City School System. And as we close this morning, Lisa, the pre-K and the kindergarten registration, how do you go about doing all that, and what parents need to kind of remember the information?
I think the best thing to do is go to the websites, whether it's your school website that you're zoned to, or just the cityschools.net, which would have everything in there. It'll talk about voluntary pre-K and what applications, the application is already there and what you need to bring. Kindergarten registration is on every school's website as well. There's a big button that says kindergarten. It'll talk about the open house dates and what you need to do to register your child for kindergarten. But again, pre-K is voluntary pre-K, and it's your child has to be 4 before August 15th. For kindergarten, your child needs to be 5 before August 15th. And that's pretty set in stone. If not, if they're August 16th, it's a 15th deadline. So just go ahead and be aware, if you have those younger children, of what you need to be doing for registration. And again, that's on the school websites. It's on the city. It's also on the city district website. So cityschools.net.
Do teachers tell you, you know, hey, I can see a difference in the kids who do pre-K?
Yes.
So there is a difference.
There is a difference in a child that's done pre-K or Mother's Day Out or has just learned how to sit in a chair for, you know, more than 2 minutes. It makes a big difference.
You know, these are big things that when we get older, we don't think about it, but a child sitting still for an hour at a time, that's takes a little practice there.
Absolutely.
With kindergarten, how do the parents usually look at that first day of school, and how do they handle that? Because that's a full day versus pre-K being what, a half day?
Pre-K can be either a half day or a full day. It depends on what pre-K your child is in. Kindergarten starts out with those half days. So we do work them into that full day experience. And the teachers are so great with the parents of trying to help them navigate kindergarten. But now is the time to start that so that you can prepare your child all summer for that kindergarten experience.
Also, something else, I was looking at the notes here that you talked about. What was the other thing that we were going to talk about? Because I don't think I wrote it down. Okay, excellence in education.
Excellence in education is this coming, not the week we come back from school. So April 11th is our big fundraiser for the City Schools Foundation. This year, we are honoring Dr. Andy Brown. I'm so thrilled. Andy has done so much for our community as a pediatrician. He also served on our school board. He is such an advocate for public education and has done so much for our children and our schools. And so we want to take this opportunity to honor him. It's also our large fundraiser for the year. So Excellence in Education is what really funds all of the grants that we were talking about earlier for our teachers. And we have had such a great support. I think it's just because Dr. Brown is so loved.
And Dr. Brown was at MMC forever.
Forever. And then
is he retired now, or is he
He retired from MMC, and then I think he spent another 15 years at the hospital, and he actually created the residency program that you see going on at Ascension St. Thomas now. So I think he's done two retirements, and right now he seems like he's just living his best life.
That's cool. It seems like more people work a lot harder, a lot more hours when they're retired than they do when they're actually working.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're thrilled to be honoring him.
So if anybody would like more information on really anything we talked about this morning, I guess just start at the Murfreesboro City Schools website.
That's the best place to start. Or give us a call.
But not this week, right?
Maybe you'll be there.
Sounds good. Well, again, thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And again, with us today, we had Lisa Trell and also Jennifer Lowe talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools. Stay with us. We do have local news coming your way next.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. And so are the warm, homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.